Welcome to Today on Broadway for Thursday, July 21st, 2016. I'm Broadway World's Matt Timonini.
And I am Broadway star's James Marino.
James, let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you were going to speak in front of like 10,000 people and then millions of people on television, do you think the most classy and dignified way to do that would be to maybe do a call and response saying that one of the most important people in our country should be thrown in jail? Do you think that would be classy?
You know, it's classy as classy does.
generally, it's not a good idea. Was that supposed to be a Forrest Gump reference?
Yeah, but what does Forrest say?
Well, no, I do. Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I was going to say, is that generally it's not a good idea to talk about somebody being guilty of something when you are currently under federal investigation yourself. I'm just saying. You know, I'm not saying, but I'm saying.
Wow, did we change from This Week on Broadway or Today on Broadway to Today in Politics?
Yeah, well, it's funny. If listeners go to the website Make Broadway Great Again, I wonder where they'll be redirected.
I should buy that.
We've had this conversation three times. You've already bought it.
Oh, I did. All right, we better get on to the news.
Yeah.
Laura Benanti channels Melania Trump on The Late Show.
Yes, James. Anybody who's listened to any of the podcasts that I'm on or follows me on Twitter knows that I have a deep and abiding crush on Laura Benanti. So it did my heart good when traditional news and political sites and reporters that I follow on Twitter started sharing the Tony winner's side-splittingly funny sketch that opened up Tuesday night's live episode of The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. On the episode, Benanti played Melania Trump, who had come to Colbert's show to read a statement defending herself against charges of plagiarism. I won't spoil the bit for you because we will have a link in the show notes at BroadwayRadio.com. But dear sweet heavenly Stephen Sondheim, it is hilarious. I mean, it is it's bonkers funny. I've watched it four times. I watched it last night and I watched it three times today. Back in the spring, you'll remember when Benanti was on The Late Show to promote She Loves Me, she debuted her Melania Trump pout and they put her face up next to a picture of Melania. And then when the Republican National Convention speech that she gave put her back in the news, Colbert's team knew who to call to get the perfect Melania Trump impersonator on the show. Benanti was actually celebrating her grandmother's 92nd birthday in Delaware, so she had to come back up to the city to do the bit. James, this has blown up all over social media, and not just the normal insular theater world that we're a part of. I actually spoke to Benanti's publicist, Danny Duraney, yesterday, and he said that it was one of the busiest mornings of his career, setting up interviews for Laura with the likes of The Hollywood Reporter and The New York Times and many, many more just about that 3-4 minute sketch. And now, apparently, there's an online petition or movement of some sort to get her to play the potential first lady. Sorry, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. To get Benanti to play the character on Saturday Night Live when the show returns in the fall. James, I love this. I love everything about this. I love Colbert. I love Benanti. I love her getting some mainstream pub. So, yay all around.
Absolutely. I love the video. And it's another way in which people can say, hey, maybe we can get over to that Broadway HD stream and see how talented she is in other ways. I mean, maybe it'll turn into lots of good things. So let's move on to Small Mouth Sounds opens off-Broadway.
Yeah, James, on Tuesday night, the off-Broadway return engagement of Bess Wahl's Small Mouth Sounds opened at New York Signature Theater. Directed by Rachel Chavkin, the show played a sold-out run at Ars Nova last year, which is considerably smaller than the Signature Theater, and tells the story of six individuals who run away from the city life to spend time at a silent forest retreat. The show got rave reviews when it was originally at Ars Nova last year, and the reviews are still pretty good now that it's a signature for a commercial run. Charles Isherwood of the New York Times wrote, "Although the stage at the Signature Center is modestly larger than the one at Ars Nova, there's no diminishment in the play's intimacy, which is enhanced by the staging." He continues, "In a summer of disturbing discord and violence, it's heartening to renew acquaintance with a play that leaves you moved, refreshed, and yes, maybe even a little enlightened." Stephen Susskind of the Huffington Post said, "Smallmouth Sounds is a play unlike any other, yes, but Wool and Chavkin bring you right into the drama, and it makes an engrossing and pretty much delightful evening of theater." Time Out New York's David Cody says that Chavkin's direction is beautiful, and he writes, "Silence is Golden and Bess Wahl's exquisite play set at an upstate meditation retreat where six strangers take, and mostly break, a vow not to speak." He continues, "The sight of deeply unhappy people trapped in a series of embarrassing situations makes Small Mouth Sounds one of the funnier sad plays you're likely to see." Anyone who listens to my pop culture podcast, Sound Like It Pop, knows that I get really uncomfortable watching people and characters in embarrassing situations. So I don't know if this one's for me, but James, the reviews are just as strong as they were a year ago. So this is one that if it appeals to people, there's going to be a nice little commercial run over at Signature Theater. So they should go over and check that one out.
Yeah, it's typically hard to get tickets to Signature. They have a very large fan base, subscriber base, and not large theaters. So I wonder if, Scott Rudin would, or somebody like a Scott Rudin, a Dower Roth, or someone who would transfer it to a commercial run.
This actually is a commercial run. From what I understand, this is just renting out
Signature. I should say a Broadway run.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't believe this is part of the Signature Center's official season. I believe this is in addition. I could be wrong, but the way I read some of these reviews, it sounds like this is something separate from what Signature had on the schedule.
All right. John Rando is going to lead a Smokey Joe's lab. Is that test tubes and stuff like that?
I'm not getting into the difference between labs and workshops. Too many people get upset and worried about that. In February, it was reported that a revival of the long-running Broadway revue Smokey Joe's Cafe would be coming back to the Great White Way this summer, directed by Jerry Sachs and choreographed by After Midnight's Warren Carlyle. Obviously, it's late July, and no word of that actually happening has come, so clearly that's been shelved. However, yesterday, an Equity casting notice was posted for a September developmental lab helmed by Tony-winning director John Rando and choreographed by Emmy winner Joshua Burgass for Smokey Joe's Cafe. The original Smokey Joe's ran for 2,036 performances on Broadway and was nominated for 7 Tonys. And James, I saw a tour back when... oh, heck, I don't even know how old I was, 13 or 14. And it's one of the most fun shows I've ever seen. So if there is any chance of this show making it back to Broadway anytime soon, that's great. I still love that cast recording and know a lot of these great classic rock songs and early rock and roll songs because of that show.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So let's see what happens with it. Riedel says Lost Mencken musical is coming back.
Yeah, okay, follow with me here. After Alan Menken wrote Little Shop of Horrors with Howard Ashman, and before he became the go-to composer for Disney musicals, the Grammy, Oscar, and Tony winner apparently had worked on a new musical called Kix with Dreamgirls book writer and lyricist Tom Ion. I'd never heard of this before, James, but late Tuesday night, Michael Riedel posted a column about it and had some very interesting information. In this article, he says that the show had a workshop for producers back in 1985, and reportedly the score and the first act were flawless. The problem comes that the second act was a bit of a train wreck. Too many characters, too many storylines, and way too soapy. But Ein, who always felt overshadowed by Dreamgirls director Michael Bennett, refused to listen to feedback and wanted to prove himself as a book writer without Bennett's help, and the show just never moved forward. Well, fast forward to the 2012 Tony Awards, and four-time Tony-winning producer John Hart was seated in front of Menken and his family when the conversation turned to Kix. Hart had attended the ill-fated workshop and had never forgotten the show, and Menken's daughter asked him when he was going to produce that show on Broadway, and that it is, quote, according to Menken's daughter, "my favorite show my father has written." Hart eventually set up a workshop of the original script and again saw all the flaws he remembered from 1985. But now he is in negotiations with performance artist Salty Brine, got to admit, not familiar with him, to rewrite the book with Menken's blessing. Who knows how long it will take for the show to get moving, if it ever actually will. But a long-lost Alan Menken musical for theater lovers of my generation is kind of like finding the Holy Grail. So this should be a lot of fun. Mencken equates it to a Robert Altman film because it's a huge ensemble cast. It's about it's not the Rockettes, it's the Roxyettes, about a girl coming in from out of town to try to be a dancer with the Roxyettes. So it sounds like a lot of fun. And if Alan Menken's family thinks it's the best score that he's ever written, I'm excited. Sign me up.
Yeah. Anything from Alan Menken, sign me up too. I'm looking forward to that. With the sad news of the passing of Gary Marshall, it looks like the Pretty Women musical is likely to be put on hold.
Yeah, James, back in April, we talked about the developing musical adaptation of the film Pretty Woman, which was at that point announced to be directed by Jerry Fullout Mitchell. However, the show might have hit a very sad delay this week with the passing of the film's director, Gary Marshall, who just recently had finished a rewrite of the show's book. Gary Marshall is obviously the incredibly successful and popular TV and film producer, writer, and director behind such projects as Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Pretty Woman, and so many more. He just put out his last film, Mother's Day, back in April, I believe, heading up into this Mother's Day holiday. Marshall had told Vanity Fair back in April that a production of the show could come as early as this fall or next spring. Obviously, with his passing, who knows if that will be scuttled at all or if someone else will pick up. But hopefully Jerry Mitchell will get word out whether or not they're moving forward once that decision has been made.
All right. Next up is David Diggs heads to do his ABCs.
It's easy as 1, 2, 3. Yeah, he hasn't been gone from Hamilton for even a week yet, but David Diggs is already filling up his professional dance card. He is currently scheduled to co-star in the new Andy Samberg mockumentary for HBO called Tour de Pharmacy, based on the Tour de France cycling race. He'll co-star with Will Forte, Julia Ormond, Felicia Rashad, Dolph Lundgren, Mike Tyson, WWE wrestler John Cena. So that should be a lot of fun. Also, he is signed onto the big screen adaptation of YA novel Wonder, alongside the likes of Pretty Woman star Julia Roberts, Owen Wilson, Tony Winter, Manny Patinkin, and Jacob Tremblay from the movie Room, which was an Oscar hit last year. Then yesterday, Variety reported that the rapping actor would be joining the third season of ABC's wonderful hit comedy, Black-ish. Diggs will play the brother of Emmy nominee Tracy Ellis Ross's character, who is a bit of a pretentious pain in the side of his brother-in-law, played by other Emmy nominee Anthony Anderson. Diggs is scheduled for a multi-episode arc, so it'll be cool to see him on ABC every week. And if it goes well, like we've seen with a lot of people on Modern Family, they do a small arc for a few episodes, and then they're just kind of part of that cast and rotate in like Andrew Rannells and Nathan Lane, who just kind of pop up in different episodes at different times. So should be a lot of fun, and good for him to go from getting this great opportunity on Broadway and to make the most of it for other aspects of his career.
I'm so glad that he is able to get out and do some things that will have people see him in so many different lights and see all of his different talents. All right, Matt, why don't you get us out of here?
All right, thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Broadway Radio, and you can find me on Twitter at BWWMatt, and subscribe to Something Like a Pop on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
And my name is James Marino from BroadwayRadio.com and BroadwayStars.com. Hold on tight. It's Thursday. We're almost to Friday, and we will see you tomorrow.